Okay, let's begin. We're up to Mizmor Tzadikei. New Mizmor. L'chu nirana l'Hashem n'riyah l'tzur yishenu. Okay, so there's not much. There's really... Oh, the Yoyim. The Yoyim. Okay, why do you say these words on Wednesday? Because Wednesday is 3 days before Shabbos. And Shabbos is coming, so we begin with Kabbalah Shabbos. We remind ourselves that Shabbos is on the way.
But that's Shlomo Alkevitz did that. That was much later, right?
So good point. You're making a very good point. Don't confuse me with the facts. Okay? Questions. When were those words added, actually? When were those words added? To the Nusach. Okay, we got to do some research on that.
Where is it? Added at the beginning? Right?
No, at the beginning.
Kalin Kabbas at the beginning. It's added at the end because they don't want to add on a negative point.
End off on a negative and negative.
They add the Hunarana to make it a good point.
Recording in progress.
What's the beta?
Okay, let's see. We'll have to see. Let's see. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaroi. Okay, there's Naam Shavah Hakdama, and actually I want to go through the Pesukim pretty quickly because there's not... Baruch Hashem, I was able to spend a little bit of the time preparing, and I didn't really... There's not really things... I didn't really find some really thick, juicy pieces over here that we're going to spend time on, so we're going to just try to go through this Mizmah maybe a little quicker. L'chu nirana l'Hashem, l'chu... What's the word l'chu? L'chu is a hard word. L'chu means, does it mean physically to go, or does it mean to be encouraged, to encourage yourself, to fortify yourself? Chizuk, like, you know, you hear everyone today is looking for chizuk. Chizuk, it means strengthen your resolve. So we have a machlokes amongst the farshim what the word really means. Look at the Radak. The Radak, well, let's go in order. The order will go in order. The Mitzudai Stavon, page 859. L'chu niranano l'Hashem le'osid in the future yizorzu ze v'yomu l'chu niranano. First thing that the Mitzudai says, he's drawing this from the other Mepharshim, is that we're dealing here in the times of Mashiach. In Yemois HaMashiach, this Mizmor is not referring to an event that has already happened. It's an event that is yet to happen. Le'osid. In the future, in the time of Mashiach, Yizorzu Zeze, and it means basically when the Geula arrives, after the Geula is here and the enemies have been eliminated and when Hashem has revealed himself, then we are going to be Mechazik ourselves, we're going to renew ourselves, there will be a renaissance. We'll renew ourselves, L'chu, go out, and Yizorzu. The Zorzu here means, it means to encourage, to fortify yourself mentally. The Yoimru, and each man will say to his fellow men, L'chu, let us go out and let us sing to Hashem. Noria, two different words which in our vocabulary, my vocabulary, almost the same thing. There's Niranina and there's Noria, to give forth shouts of joy, L'tzur, to the rock of our salvation. Hashem is called the rock. We say in Shemona Esrei every single day, Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. Hashem is my rock. Okay, in English, there's a common expression, he is my rock. A person in whom you put your faith and confidence, and you call them your rock, that really comes from Tehillim, comes from Nach, where Hashem is called our Tzur. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, on this pasuk says, there is no Rashi. Let's look over here at Hakdam, look over here at the Radak. L'chu nirana l'Hashem. Like what the Mitzudah Stavit alluded to. Each Leachiv, one man to his fellow man, Sheiranenu Lokel, they will sing to Hashem in an expression of thank you that he has saved them. Uchvar, Perashnu, Kimilas, Lechu, and Lecha. What are these two words, Lechu and Lecha? Hubi Mekoimois, Inyan, Zeruz Hamaaseh, Loi Halicha Mamish. This means to strengthen yourself mentally, not physically, to go to a location.
What we say, get up and go.
Get up and go. So what do you mean by that? Get up and go means
energetic,
not physical location. Kimo
l'chona. It even means energy.
Okay, like you have in Koheles, l'chona nasicha v'simcha. Shlomo HaMelech said, let me go and experiment. anasecha, I'm not sure I'm translating it correctly, with joy. L'chon nashkes, avinu, come, let us give the benos lot, let us give our father to drink. L'chu v'nachshava al Yirmiyah machshavos. Yirmiyah was a targeted man. You think Trump has problems? You think Trump has problems? Yirmiyah had much bigger problems. Much bigger problems. Everyone was out. Yirmiyah was, they were out to get him. They tortured him. They threw him into a dungeon. They plucked out the hairs on his beard. Yirmiyah, they tried to assassinate him. There was probably no one in Tanakh, none of the Ishiya Tanakh, that was more persecuted than Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was by far the most. We once learned here Yirmiyah. It's time to learn it again. So therefore, the Radak and the Mitzudis David have made it clear as day that the word L'chu and the word L'cha are two words in Tanakh which mean Zeruz. It means encourage yourself, energize yourself, as Ramachol said. It does not mean to physically to go to a specific location. Battle does not mean battle stations. Okay, it means encouragement. Now, if you look quickly at the, let's turn the page for a moment and look at the Chumash Anoch. In the Chumash Anoch, he says, no. In the Chumash Anoch, page 861, Nikadma Fonov Bisoda, Efsher, he's going back to the beginning of the Mizmar, Tehakavano Luchu, Levote Kine Sios Ulevote Midrashas. It does mean to physically to go to a location. You get up in the morning and you go to the morning kollel. You go to shul. You go daven, and after you go daven, you go to the Beis Medrash. You go to a physical location, and what do you do there? You daven, neranana, with joy, besimcha tia halicha. You go there to the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash with joy. Kidei asher norio, we shall shout, litzur yeshenu. And then he says something very interesting, which is not the common translation of what he's going to do over here. We didn't get to do this pasuk, but right now, the acharkach nikadma fanav bisoda. How would the average person translate the word bisoda? Thanksgiving. Mizmar lisoda. A mizmar, a psalm of thanksgiving. That's not what he says. He says soda. Gesundheit means, it means confession. Gesundheit, confession. After you go and you give, you go and you say psuke de zimra, you say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. You confess. Toida means to confess your sins. Besoida loimar vidui al chet ve'avon v'zeyeb hachno'o. And this shall be done with submission, the atz for sadness, uvushu chlima, the achra vidui tekef im tekef immediately, yiftach v'hashem shubal harachamim v'yis'orer v'simcha v'zmirois nerilo k'mosh kosm v'zayar kodesh. So, we already jumped ahead to one of the Achrayim over here, and he's thinking over here is really going to the next Pasuk. Pasuk leads, let's do the two Pasuk move together. L'chu nirana l'Hashem nirya l'tzor yishenu. Go. Pick yourself up in the morning and go to the Beis HaKnesses. And what should you do? You should go, when you walk in the street, you should walk with, you know, there should be, I don't know the expression in English, there should be like your strides should be with joy. You should be happy and excited to go to the Beis HaKnesses. Sorry?
Enthusiastically.
Yeah. You should go with enthusiasm to the Beis HaKnesses. You shall go with joy. It seems like the word according to the Chumash Anoch is you shall go the way your journey to the Beis HaKnesses should be. It should be with joy. Litzur Yeshenu to Hashem. You go, it could be according to the Chumash Anoch, he's saying that the word Litzur Yeshenu is the subject of L'chu. Who are you going to? Who are you going to? According to the Mitzudah Stav and according to Radak, L'chu means the word stops right there. That's where the idea stops. L'chu, energize yourself. And what should you, for what? Niran Hashem, to sing Hashem, Nariya, to sing shouts, Litzur Yeshenu. Energize yourself. You know, you get up to have a cup of coffee, have some type of stimulant to get you going, to get you up and running.
Shot means from Lech, go, Lechu, plural.
But that's No, but that's exactly what it's saying. That's because in this, in everything, a word, as in, we always say this, a word in Hebrew has no definition. There is no dictionary for the Hebrew language. A word in Hebrew is an abstract concept which is understood and defined based on its context. So in this pasuk, luchu, according to the Mitzvah Stav and Rashi, Radak, is not has no place according to them to physically go to a physical location. From the context of Niranina, Naria, Nikadma, Fanov Bisoda, Bizmiros, Naria Loy, these are all expressions of thanksgiving or Hoidah. You don't need to go to a Beis HaKnesses to do this. This is something which you have to do in your mind when you wake up in the morning. It's just a concept. And therefore, based upon the context, the word luchu means to energize yourself. Kedar and Machol give a really good translation. Energize yourself to engage in these activities. However, according to the parish of the Chaimas HaNochen, Acharein, the Chidah, he says luchu can be understood here to physically go to a location. When you wake up in the morning, go to shul. Luchu. Who are you going to? According to him, you connect the end of the pasuk to the beginning of the pasuk. You're going to the Tzur Yishenu. Where is Hashem Shekhinah resting? In the Batei Kinesios and Batei Midrashos. Even though, of course, you can daven wherever you want, but we all understand that there is an intensity. There is an intensity of sanctity in a makom that is miyuchad for Hashem's holiness. Go to shul. Go to the Beis Medrash. Don't sit around in the house. It is not a healthy thing to sit home the whole day. You got to get out of the house and go to a social environment, especially a place that is designated to serve Hashem. It greatly, greatly enhances your experience and your pursuit of spirituality, and for that matter, your pursuit of making money. Okay, COVID lockdown. Okay, what is the psychology behind? No one's going to really know the effects of what it's like to get into a frame of mind of not going out of the house, of working at home. Is it really good or not? It's like, you know, the dentist, can you work on your patients remotely? Just have them come in, have the patient in the chair, with the computer, you will go and you'll move all the instruments remotely. I don't want to go. When I went to the dentist a lot during COVID, and my dentist, he spooked me out, because when he came in to see me, he was dressed up in layers of masks and who knows, like an alien. The guy was with goggles and this and this and this. I don't blame him, because he's sitting over his patients the whole day on top of them. He was dressed up like, and I didn't even know what he looked like, because my dentist, he retired. And he gave over his practice to a new young guy. I don't want to have patients to go look into a new... I figured if my dentist is such a good guy, I trust that he would select. And Taka, I'm very happy with this person. And for 2 years, I did not even know what he looked like. It's hilarious. I must have gone there 10 times. I did not even know what he looks like. He's a nice young guy. Very, very nice. He appears to be very skilled. Very similar, to my old dentist, the one who retired, and then after 2 years, I walk in. He walks into the room. Oh, that's what you look like. It's really funny. It's really funny. We don't know what the effects are of being locked down. Look at this mizmar. Luchu, Chames Hanach. Get out of the house. Go. Don't sit around in the house. According to Mitzvah Savad Rashi, energize yourself wherever you may be. Yeah.
That's a proof that Nusach Sfarad is okay.
It's okay?
Said, we start with Hodu Lashem Ki Hu Mishmo. It says, Kadma Panav Betoda. The Barishon is to say thank you. And then we say Hodu Lashem Ki Hu Mishmo. And then, Bizinurat Dariyalo, we have Psuke Zimra. So that's the idea that this is what we're doing.
What do you mean?
You have Hodu.
Yeah.
And we have Psukim Zimra.
We have Hodu.
That's what the pasuk says.
The Kadma Fana Besoda.
And I did Hodu. And then you said Psukim Zila.
Okay. Okay, we have to. Okay, there are different stages, different parts of the process.
It proves that it's not Ashkenaz.
All right, let's go further. Okay, so we have here a machlokes between these mefarshim, what it means. Let's do a few psukim. Now, before we go further, okay, I just want to do this hagdam over here. We're not going to go in. This is very, very typical. Let's just for the Sipurno. Sipurno, one liner. You know, I always like to spend time on the hagdama of a mizmor. That's always the favorite part. Pasuk Av L'chunor L'Hashem Atem. Look at the Sipurno on page 859. Atem Bnei Kibbutz Golus. He's also, everyone over here seems to be on the same page that this mizmor is addressing Yemos HaMashiach. It's addressing the time of Mashiach, and maybe it's for that reason that Kabbalah Shabbos is Yom HaShabbos, and when Shabbos begins, when Kabbalah Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, the 6 days of the week of the sixth millennia, and then we come to Yom HaShabbos. Shabbos is Keneged Yemos HaMashiach, and therefore L'chu Nirananol LaHashem. And since here all the Mefarshim learn pretty much that this mizmor is addressing the song we are going to sing to Hashem when Mashiach will come, when we will be able to look back and understand in hindsight how every event that happened in world history was all for the purpose of bringing out the Kavod Shemayim that will come in Yemos HaMashiach. That's why it's appropriate when Shabbos begins, we dwell upon this mizmor that talks about Yemos HaMashiach. And also it says L'chu, by the word L'chu, we all know that, you know, this we have to spend some time on this, is to understand that this is the first mizmor of Kabbalah Shabbos. And we really need to spend time. I have to review this. I have it over here. The best write-up I ever saw on Kabbalah Shabbos is in the journal, the Kan journal that went out of business. As far as I know, the Kan journal went out of business. I'm so, so upset. It was such... It's called Kan. What?
What does it refer to?
A container. Don't look at the Kan... Don't look at the container. Only look at what is inside the container. Kan. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf.
Good morning. Regards from your July.
Thank you very much. Please send regards back. My best regards back to your Choshva daughter and son-in-law. Okay, Kan. So there's a journal called Kan. It was written by a very genius. And they have there a very beautiful write-up about Kabbalah's, the origins of Kabbalah's Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is not a chelik of davening. Kabbalah Shabbos originally was by invitation only. It was only for very select people who were invited to go and greet the Shabbos, and they greeted the Shabbos not in the Beis HaKnesses, out in the fields, out away from public view. And they did this early in the day. And then there was a whole question, and you know what they originally did? This is really amazing. Can you imagine today, no one in the world would do this today anymore. No one has this kind of sensitivity. Is that in order not to make believe that you're better than anyone else, so if you makabel Shabbos, so really, not necessarily 100%, but you can't daven mincha anymore. Once you accept upon yourself the Shabbos, so it's Shabbos, so it's not proper to go back in time and daven mincha. Even though technically you probably can, but it's not the correct thing to do. So these individuals, they would daven mincha early, and then they would go out into the fields and engage in a very special private ceremony with music, and who knows what else they did, to be mekabel the Shabbos, to get ready for Shabbos. But they didn't want to make believe that they're better than anyone else, so they kept it a secret. So then they would go back to shul, and they would make believe that they were davening mincha with the tzibur, because it was a secret that you went to Kabbalah Shabbos. So if you're going to be mekabel Shabbos early, you have to daven mincha even earlier. So you would daven mincha, then they would go to the ceremony out in the fields of Kabbalah Shabbos, but then technically they come to shul. The shul began ma'ariv. Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarach. That's how the Ma'ariv began in Shul. And most of the population, most of the community, they came to Shul for Ma'ariv. But what did they do? But before they daven Ma'ariv, they daven Mincha. They daven a Mincha Ma'ariv together. They probably daven Ma'ariv early. And Mincha Ma'ariv is, if you're going to walk in just for Ma'ariv, people are going to look at you and going to say, when did you daven Mincha? How come you're davening, you're only coming from Ma'ariv? When did you daven Mincha? Oh. There is no minyan for Mincha, early minyan for Mincha in this community. We only have one minyan for Mincha, late in the afternoon. When did you daven Mincha? We went to Kabbalah Shabbos. And before Kabbalah Shabbos, we daven Mincha. Oh, you do that? You do the Kabbalah Shabbos ceremony? You're from the Kalbach Olam? You do this? You think you're such a holy person? You're better than me? So in order not to stand out, they would come to shul early and they would make believe that they were davening mincha. They would chuckle, close their eyes, eat until no one should know that they are part of this secret club. Isn't it very strange? It's hard for us to understand this because we live in such a different world. We live in such a different world where everything is so hard for us to relate to the history of what went on in this world. And then people got jealous. So then the whole system broke down. Everyone wanted to participate in this group. And sure enough, everyone was invited. And then it got cold. And you know, not everyone is able to go out into the fields because it's not accessible, wheelchair access. So that, you know what? We'll do it in shul already. And they did it with music, an organ, the whole chadgadya, how this whole thing came about. And now it is accepted throughout the entire Klal Yisrael. It's almost, if you don't even know the history, you would think it's a chelik of davening. I told, where I daven in shul, you know, we told this many times, is that there's a minug that you do not, the shliach tzibur does not daven Kabbalah Shabbos from the Amud. You daven from the Bima to show that this is not a chelik of davening. This was a new add-on that Chazal never sanctioned. It's something which is a minig, and for convenience only, we do it in the shul. Really, we should do Kabbalah Shabbos in the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses. We should not be doing this in shul. The shul has sanctity. You don't just do whatever you want in shul. It's not a hefkeros. Today, it's hard for us to understand that. And therefore, at least a zecher, that it's not a chelik of davening, at the very least, you don't daven Kabbalah Shabbos from the Amud, you daven from the Bima. So I daven in a yeshiva, where they daven from the Amud, and if I once mentioned this to someone there, a very, very, you know, choshev ben Torah, and he looks at me like I'm from Mars. Okay? That's how, you know, it's very strange. I had another ma'aseh yesterday. A person said to me, he told me that I told him last year, I have no recollection of this, is that in Lakewood, there are many people today, he told me that I said this, I don't know, I don't even know what I say. He says that many people in Lakewood today don't even bother selling chametz to the Rav. They don't bother with it. They don't have any chametz. They don't have any chametz that they any chametz. They have any box of Cheerios. They don't even have Cheerios. Too religious for Cheerios. Whatever. They don't have any chametz. They get rid of everything. So there's no chametz. If there's no chametz, so there's no need to sell chametz to the Rav. So they don't sell chametz to the Rav. So he claims that I told him, probably did, is that that's a terrible breach of tradition. There's a minog Yisrael. I can't quote you now, chapter and verse. But once upon a time, I spent a lot of time on this topic. There is a minhag Yisrael to go to a Rav and sell your chametz. There is a minhag Yisrael even if you have nothing to sell. It doesn't matter. You go to the Rav and you write down, you give him your address and your name, and you pick up the handkerchief and you write down, if I have any chametz, I don't think I have any chametz, but you never know. You never know what you got. You might have chametz. Who knows what you got? Oh, you mevatel it. Okay, so you do mechiras chametz with the Rav no matter what. This is the minhag Yisrael, and in some of these communities they are violating. I told him that they are. It's a breach in Mesorah. It's a breach in the Mesorah just to do away with it and not do mechiras chametz.
It's a nice crusade, but how much other breaches in Mesorah?
So he said to me, he came.
This one.
So he came to me yesterday. He says to me, "You told this to me. I want to know more about this." And he was mamish, very tough with me yesterday. What's the makar? You said this till you told this to me last year. He was been thinking about it the whole year. Wow! And he wants to know more about this. So on the spot, I told him, I don't remember. I have to go look it up. But in my mind, I have to go back. How many hundreds of years has this been a tradition to do this? And I told him the reason. I told him vaguely. I said, number one, this davar posh atmaod is that this was in Misora a technique for a person, an opportunity. Number one, to give parnasa to the rav. It's poshut. This was not in those years ago. Rabbanim, where was their parnasa? Well, they just had make believe money, monopoly money. Where they get where parnasa? How they have parnasa? This was a bakovidical way for balabatim to support their rav. Number two, it was a submission of authority. It was a ceremony. Comes yomtiv, you machnia yourself to the rabbi. I told you, my father was a rav of young Israel, traditional for 30 years, and the balabatim that he had were very traditional. These type of balabatim, they don't exist anymore. There's a different, totally different generation. Every single one of them did mechiras chametz. And in fact, if a balabas did not come to my father to do mechiras chametz, it was a declaration of war. And likewise, if you didn't come to the Rav Shabbos HaGadol Drasha and the Shabbos Shuva Drasha, it was a declaration of war. You don't have to understand the word the rabbi says. You don't have to like what he says. It was a certain, you're the rabbi, I'm a member of the shul, and there's a certain respect, acknowledgement that you are the rabbi and I am the balabas and I submit to you. Today you tell this to Bnei Torah, they look at you like you came from, not from Mars, from much further away, from Kalamazoo. It's like, what? What are you, crazy? I know more than the Rav. I'm a much bigger Talmud Chacham than the Rav. I know more than the Rav. What are you talking about?
I think in that vein of thought is, it was allowed to sell, there was a thing called, people have businesses, and people have big silos, and big whatever, that they did, and
they needed to do. There was a need.
Therefore, we instituted, maybe the part of Misora, the tradition was that everybody will do it to show that this is something that can be done, and not to worry about it, because you're doing it yourself also, and therefore we're all going to do it, not just the guy who has the warehouse.
Okay, there's a lot to be said. Then I told them also that there's a din of tashbisu. There's a mitzvah deraisa of tashbisu se'or mibotechem. This big topic. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I spent some time preparing it this year, but there's a big topic. There are many ways you do tashbisu. Just like, you know, when you do tashbisu, you have to get rid of your chametz. You make a bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvon al bi'ur chametz. How do you get rid of the chametz? You burn it. You mevatel it. You eat it. And you sell it. You do Erev Pesach. Every possible technique you got in your bag to be mekayim tashbisu. You're looking to be mekayim. There is a mitzvah de'oraisa. The Torah says tashbisu se'or mibotechem. Cease, get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? A person who is mechavev mitzvahs and chametz is also b'mashahu. You seek out every single way to get rid of chametz. You clean your house thoroughly. You take chametz, you burn it. Many hold the best hashbisu is to eat chametz. Do you know there's a rishon, I forgot which rishon, that says a davar nifla ad me'oid. If I'm not mistaken, I could not believe, fell off my chair. Erev Pesach, after the zman iser achila, before chatzos, you can't go do this after chatzos, even though you're not allowed to eat. But if the reason why you want to eat is for no other reason but to destroy the chametz, you're allowed to eat it. This is man, you know, after the fourth hour, you're not allowed to eat. And after the fifth hour, it has to be burnt. So let's say it's after the zman Isra Achila has arrived. Just don't eat for pleasure. But if the reason why you want to eat is because you want to be mekayim tashbisu, you're allowed to eat, oh, I'm having pleasure also, it's okay. It's the best type of tashbisu is to eat it, to consume it. No chametz shall be left when Pesach arrives. And that includes selling it. That's another technique. Search for it, burn it, eat it, sell it. Every technique possible. Just the varfavek. your grandfather, the guy that said it to me, I have no doubt his grandfather and great-grandfather and great-grandfather, they sold their chametz. So why don't you sell your chametz? Why are you breaking a tradition with what your grandfather, your father also probably sells his chametz? Your grandfather for sure, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. So all of a sudden, I know better. Really, you know better? There's a minog Yisrael. We live in a different generation. Now, it's not a shiur on tashvisu.
At what point is it tashvisu?
What?
I
don't know. We don't do this. We don't do this today. Unheard of today.
Doing tashbisu by selling it, then you should really sell real chametz. A lot of people say I don't sell real chametz.
They're afraid the mechira is not a valid mechira. So it's a token. So it's a but it's a token. It's a so in a chanami. It's a token fulfillment in a chanami. First of all, who says you don't sell real chametz? Many people sell. Rav Aaron Carlos sold real chametz. Rav Aaron Carlos famous for saying you can sell chametz gomor. Chametz gomor you can sell. There's another problem. The other problem, the reason why people don't sell chametz gomor, it's not really because of the mechira. It's because what's called roitze b'kiyumai. If you sell chametz, but you'll have a lot of agmas nefesh, if your chametz that you sell to the goy disappears, and you're not going to be getting it back after Pesach, then that's osur. For example, the halacha is, let's say you rent your a pot to a goy. You even rental. I'm renting a pot to a goy, and the goy tells me I'm renting the pot in order to bake chametz on Pesach. So then you're not allowed to rent him the pot. Why? It's not my. Do whatever you want with the pot. What do I care? Or why do I care? Because if the goy does not put into the pot the chametz and he turns on the fire on an empty pot, the pot's going to crack. So you want, the Shulchan Aruch, you want the chametz to be in the pot when the fire goes on, because if there's no chametz in that pot, the pot's going to crack. So that's called roitze bikim. All of these pizza stores have a very, very big problem, which none of the Rabbanim, they do address, and there are answers, but the answers are really not nearly as good as the question, is that all the pizza stores, they have ready to go everything. They have the dough. Some pizza stores, they go so far, they already have the pizza made. They have to, it's true, it's not a joke.
They just put it
into the oven. They go, everything is all ready to go, and if the pizza's not ready yet, but at least they're fully stocked with all of the homemade thick ingredients. And they sell it to a guy. Everything is sold to him with the best possible mechira. No shayla about it. The best possible mechira you can imagine. But the bottom line is, the pizza store owner would have enormous agmas nefesh if the guy came on Pesach and I bought this, I'm going to pay for it. Okay, I only give a down payment, but I'm going to pay the full amount for it, and he takes it all away. And then the owner of the pizza store comes Mitzoy Shabbos, and there's nothing in the store.
So then how's that a valid mechira?
That's a good, that's a very tough question. It's a valid mechira? No, it's not. It's a valid mechira. There's no shail about it. There's another halachic issue called roitze b'kiyumai. It's a separate issue. If you sell chametz, if you engage in activity, in a transaction, lav dafka selling the chametz, anything in which the transaction you engage in includes a desire, a clear desire that chametz should exist, even chametz of a guy. Chametz should exist in this world because of you. That is rabbinically forbidden. Right said the kiyumai. So even though you're selling the chametz of the guy, but if the guy comes and he takes away my chametz, I'm going to lose a lot of money.
Why? He's going to pay you for it.
Oh, so that's part of the answer. But the truth is, it's not really good. Not such a good answer, because he's only going
to
pay you for the raw materials. He's not going to pay you for the service of making the chametz into pizza. When you charge for a slice of pizza, how much it costs a slice of pizza? $4, $4.50. It costs in the range of about $4. What?
An arm and a leg.
An arm and a leg. It costs now approximately, okay, every store is different, about $4 a slice. The ingredients in the slice of pizza, how much? I don't know how much it costs. L'chaira doesn't cost the most a dollar, probably 50 cents. Okay? So the people who make the pizza, they're making they're making a profit. Not, you know, you have to take into account the rent and this and this and this and the services. Everything costs a fortune of money, but the raw materials that they are paying to make that slice of pizza doesn't cost nearly what they're getting for the piece of pizza. And therefore, this is an issue called Reitze Bikim. Now, we're getting really sidetracked, but it's Erev Pesach. We'll go over here, Luchu Nirano LaHashem Nirilu Tzu Yishenu. Going back over here to this Mizmor. This Mizmor is the opening Mizmor of Kabbalah Shabbos, and it's not a coincidence that it begins with the word Luchu. And according to the Perush of Rashi and the Mitzvah, the Radak and the Mitzvah Stav, Luchu does not mean to physically go anywhere. All it means is energize yourself. You bring in Rav Shlomo Kalbach, Zechoyin Livracha. You bring him in and he will energize us. Energy. Is that what it means? Well, the traditional way of doing Kabbalah Shabbos is pick yourself up and go out into the field. Go far away. Go to the west. Go west, young man. Go to where the sun is setting. Because where the sun is setting, that's the Kabbalah Sashchina. The Chaimas Anach says the word Lichu means to physically go to a location. He understands this to mean go to the Beis HaKnesses and go to the Beis HaMedrash in the traditional Mikra. Lost a lover, but you can already get a little bit of an appreciation as to why Kabbalah Shabbos, it goes together. It was done out in a remote location. In order to greet the Shabbos, this Mizmor is describing Yimos HaMashiach. Yimos HaMashiach is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. It's the Zman of the Zman Shabbos and Yimos HaMashiach, they go together. And it says Lechu. Lechu typically means, as Dr. Bidenstock said, you go. Pick yourself up and you go. You cannot do this virtually. Okay, there's a very good clip of all the passengers coming onto an airplane during COVID and buckling up and everyone's ready to go, and then the captain gets on. Greetings, welcome to all the passengers of our flight. I just want to let everyone know over here that I'm flying this plane remotely from my home. And all the passengers, they start screaming. Okay, when you go on a plane with the captain is flying the plane, why not? What's so terrible? Why not? What difference does it make, right? They can do it. It can be done in a snap. So why talk if people don't want to fly in a plane remotely? Why not? I don't know why. There's something to it. Lechu. Don't just sit home. You got to do a maisa to go to a location. Next one. Nikadma.
When he said lechu, go out to the base medrash, the base knesses, to a certain extent in those old days, lechu, you're running, they would go out.
No, we have to understand that we're not, this needs, everyone agrees, that, oh, okay, what he's saying over here.
Yeah.
The Bate Midrashais were in the field, right? Why is that so? Why is it so that in the ancient times, they had no place in the city? It was always dangerous. When it comes to Friday night, oh yeah, we have to have Magen Avos. We have to have all these things to we have Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. All of these things they did in order to delay the davening for the latecomers. Who cares about the latecomers? No, because they're going to walk home alone at night, and it's dangerous to go home in the fields at night. So why don't you build the Beis HaKnesses in the city? Why were the Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashos out in the fields? What's the shot? It has to be something that distractions. If you have the Beis HaKnesses on Coney Island Avenue, open up the window and you see all the cars going by, all the activity in the middle, it's very distracting. It seems that in ancient times, the place where you go to daven is in a remote location where you avoid distractions.
Where
do you go? Hispaidus. I don't know, but they say they have Aaron Cutler by design. He set up Lakewood. He had it's very clear from all the historians that the vision of Aaron Cutler when he established Lakewood was very different of what it is today. Not that, no one knows what he would say today. None of our business what he would say today, what it turned into today. Today it's a mamish, a city, a metropolis. But his ideas of, well, there's a lot of history. Rav Baruch actually showed me in a fascinating website where someone interviewed all of his Talmidim. This unbelievable website. People, a person interviewed, how many Talmidim did he interview? 50? 150. What's the name of the website? Shema Yisrael. It is unbelievable. Listen to some of those interviews. The secrets that come out are unreal. There's a lot of history, but it appears, if you read, you listen and you read some of the things that Rav Aaron called a very, very different attitude of what his intent was, is a place of espoidedus, of nothing but learning. There should be zero distractions, and the people there should be have absolutely no connection to society, and should just sit and learn for as long as whatever the time was that they were going to learn, and then leave and re-enter society. Either they'll get a job in learning, or they'll get a regular job. But this location cannot be contaminated with distractions. No distractions of making parnasa, not having a business, no making money. This is a place where no money is to be made. Lakewood was a very good place because, on the one hand, it was a vacation resort in those days, so it had a very strong infrastructure of things that you need for a society. But there was no business. There was no commercial businesses there for people, and it was just a remote location, a distant location, without any distractions whatsoever. And if you wanted to have a job, get out. There's no one here works. This was, and how long are you going to be here for? Not forever. It was never meant to be a place that it should be forever. Over time, things changed. Rav Schneer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, certainly totally changed because the times demanded a different malach, and some will argue that even Rav Aaron at the end maybe already changed his attitude towards what it would be. Not necessarily, but certainly today what is today is a whole different world. There is a principle today of going to a place where there are zero distractions. I know that Rav Aryeh Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Aryeh Kaplan's Rebbetzin passed away about 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago already. Time flies. 2-3 weeks ago, and now all this, everyone, he was a legend in his day, Rav Aryeh Kaplan, a goyin, a tzaddik, incredible person, genius of geniuses, and a lot of stories now, during the Shiva, a lot of things, resurfaced, and people talking. Everyone knows his children. He has very chashuv children, and Joe, everyone knows Joey Kaplan, the plumber,
and
his son, Aryeh, and all the other brothers, everyone knows he's a lot of interesting stories. And one thing they say about Rav Aryeh Kaplan is he would go into a room, put a sign, "Do not disturb," and be there for 2 days. Would not come out of the room. He would daven there. They would put some food under the door. He wrote in a very short period of time many, many books that are still 30 years later classics. Who can say that about themselves? The book never, classics. All those anthologies, the artists put all the kontrasim into these anthologies. They're like the number one book for any Baal Tshuva. Nothing changed. This is the first thing you buy about the Tshuva, their Aryeh Kaplan anthology, about many of the mitzvahs, the stuff there, as you look at the footnotes, you never even knew, even with Eitzra Chochma, you would never know that these svarim exist, that he quotes from. And he did it all without any computers. And I mean, his stuff is unbelievable. And he would do this, no distractions. You live in a metropolis. Every other second, someone is running around and you have a device like this. This is a curse, this device. For me, it's a curse. Every second, another distraction, another this, another that. Total addiction. There's no way it's going to work. It's not going to work. Lichu. Pick yourself up and go into a makom of his boididus. The world we live in does not allow for this. Does not allow for this. And that's why maybe we don't have people in the caliber. Society does not allow to produce Gedolei Yisrael. distractions, it's not possible. In America, it's certainly not possible. In Eretz Yisrael, some claim it's still possible, and there are. But you live in a world of distractions. L'chu! You got to go out. The original Kabbalah Shabbos, a very holy thing, Shabbos. Akol Holech, everything, you know, the Haskalah is everything. When you want to bring in the Shabbos, it has to be done with Kedusha V'Tahara. It's a very holy thing, Shabbos. And where was it done? It was not done in Shul. It was not done for the Hamoinam. The Hamoinam are going to make jokes. And they're going to be, you see what goes on. The more you water down something, the more it is totally destroyed. Someone who was in, I think in Columbia Law School, mm-hmm. he told me, he's already finishing up, they started a WhatsApp group for only B'nai Torah. There's a group of B'nai Torah there in this group in Columbia. A WhatsApp group of the students there in Columbia, Minyanim for Mincha, all the different Minyanim that a from person, from girl or from boy would need. All the Minyanim. So some intellectual there in Columbia who's not so orthodox, who makes believe he's orthodox, started, oh, I also want to join. I also want to join. So they let him join. And then another guy, and all of a sudden it became, like, very quickly it became, oh, this is a WhatsApp group for right-wing Jews, not Orthodox. And before you turn around, the whole group was infested with right-wing fanatics, and they started using even their pronouns. Okay? So here you go, you start with a group.
That's right-wing.
Left-wing.
And no, yes, so that's what I was saying, right. It started with right-wing extreme, and then even at Kedei Kach now, on the group, everyone who introduced, they use their pronouns. So he started with the group for B'nai Torah, to know when we can get Mincha, and things Nogei, whatever an Orthodox Jew needs on the campus, and all of a sudden, once you open it up for one person, it's an invasion. It's an invasion. It's an invasion. No, they didn't use the word. I use that word. It's my word. Right. An invasion. Once you allow something for the Hamoinam, it's over. It's over. Kabbalah Shabbos is a sacred thing. And Kabbalah Shabbos begins, at least to appreciate this Yisoid, with the word L'chu. You want to do Kabbalah Shabbos the real way? It's not an accident. What's Rav Shlomo Alkavitz? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Alkavitz.
Shlomo? Rav Shlomo Alkavitz from Tzfas, the Kabbalists. In what year? 17th century or later?
16th century.
6th century? We know, really? 6th
century?
Early
17th century.
Early 17th century. Okay. They knew what they were doing. This is not for the Hamoinam. It is for L'chu. Yechidim Sheb Yechidim. And now, Baruch Hashem, the whole world, everyone wants a chilek in this. And even, you know, even the modern Orthodox, not, I shouldn't say that, I take that back. People that are beyond open Orthodox, people that really have pushed the limits, have now dedicated this service for women Balei Tzvila. Because it's not part of davening. So you can do whatever you want. You can break all the rules. Okay, it became, it's an amazing thing how people have corrupted Kabbalah Shabbos to a degree that is really not l'chayra what the purpose was. Any event, the word l'chu is an explosive word. Let's read another pasuk beis, Nikadma, fun of b'soida, let us be makdim his ponim with todah. Todah simply means thanksgiving. Okay, we learn over here, incredible what it says in the Chumash Anach, Todah, he learns, no. It means with confession. Okay, we will be makdim Hashem with words of confession, bizmirois, with song, narialoi. I think he learns, we said, you will cut down, psuke de zimra, we'll cut ourselves down. Okay, you have to humble yourself, behachna, bizmirois, to prune. The Zayin Memresh also means to prune. Okay, but simply it means with songs we will sing to Hashem, lo to Hashem. Pasuk Gimel, Kikel Gadol Hashem. Hashem is a kel gadol, umelech gadol al kol Elohim. Elohim over here means idols. Elohim over here does not mean over here, it clearly does not mean God. Hashem is the God. Hashem is the kel gadol. Hashem. Umelech gadol al kol over all authority. Okay, sometimes Elohim means, like you go to the Beis Din is the authority. Ad Elohim, Yovoi Devar Shneihem, Pasuk Daled, Asher Biyado Mech Kirei Oretz, it is within Hashem's hands all of the investigation of the Oretz. What does that mean exactly? It's a very deep Pasuk which we have to spend time on. It is within in Hashem's control all of the investigation. Man, today, we're living in a generation where man has advanced to such a degree in an understanding of science and nature, you can destroy the world. If mankind wanted, could you imagine they can literally blow up this earth to smithereens? They have the technology. They have enough nukes.
I think
the depths? Okay, that's one shot.
In contrast of to our fortalim law,
the Oretz and
the highest. The lowest,
okay. So Mechra, you want to translate the depths of the earth, and the Soyafois means it means a bird to the heights. Or the Mitzudah stuff, it says the Mechra means Devarim. In the Mitzudah Sion, it says Miloshon Chakira, to investigate, Vichipus, and to search, Vesoafos Inyan Gafus, to heights. Al shem ho'oif asher yo'ifeth b'govach avir, birds fly high. In the Mitzudas, David explains, mechrei aretz devarim ha'ne'elomim ba'aretz, like you said, things are hidden in the earth, asher yachkiru bedas lahavinam. I'm not so sure what he means over here, but he means the things that are hidden, and you have to investigate. You have to study science to understand the nature of how things work. V'soyafois, Gove Heharim, the heights of the mountains, Heimolo, the Artem. This pasuk has never been more relevant. I mean, man, who knows what they knew in ancient times. The more you learn about things, it seems that in ancient times they had pretty good knowledge, science, that we maybe lost some of the secrets of understanding this world. But today, it is incredible. The technology is beyond belief. You look at some of these video clips. Mr. Cohn, he sends me some things about Iran, about Israel, about the technology of what happened this past week. The technology is just not to be believed. It's just unbelievable. And today man has the ability to alter nature. Okay, they do all these crazy things with the weather and what they can do out of space. Man today has an incredible Tefisa over science, over nature. They can manipulate nature. And the pasuk here says, very important pasuk, you can do all you want. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he's the boss. No matter how much you think you can manipulate nature, you can control human beings, doesn't matter. Asher Biyodoi, it's within Hashem's power. The Mechkirei Oretz, V'Soyafoi Sarim, after everything that man tries to do, all the secrets of science, everything is still within Hashem's power. The secrets of the earth and the Soyafois, the heights of the mountains, everything that goes on in outer space, it's Loi. It's under Hashem's authority and control, and don't mess with Hashem. Hashem, whatever Hashem allows us to do, fine, but we have to appreciate that He's the boss. Asher lo hayom, Hashem made the yam, v'hu, to Him is the yam, v'hu asahu, He has created it, v'yabeshes, and the dry land, yodof, His hands, yotsaru, has created this poetic. Let's read the mitzvah of these psukim. Oh, the Shah that Hashem created the world. He created the world, the Shemaim and the Arts. Let's look at these few psukim over here in the Mitzvah, the Stavit over here in the Kadim. The Kadim Atzmein Levon Mulpana Behoidah. Behoidah Sevasayim. Let us come before Hashem with thanksgiving. Lehoidah Slo Alatoiva Haba'ah. Elohim He Malachim Allah. So here, not like what I told you. I told you the word Elohim means authority. He does not say that. He says the word Elohim here means the Malachi Hashoris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim, Hashem is a Kel Gadol Hashem. He is the Melech Gadol Al Kol Elohim over all of the angels. The angels are also called Elohim. Next words of the Mrs. David, the Mech Eretz, we did it, Devar Panelim, Baruch, things that are hidden in the earth, Asher Yachru Badas Lehavinam. There are things that are hidden in the earth which man investigates to understand how these things work. This Soafois, Gove Harim Hemelo, the heights of the mountains, they are to him. Vuhu Asahu, Tiknoi Al Mikoimoi Lyois Nikve, to be, he talks of the water. So he learns over here that Vayabeshes, I'm sorry, when it says over here, Vuhu Asahu, he learns Kivu Hamayim, that the waters gather together in one location, not to flood the earth. Tiknei al mekaymoi liyos nikveh b'makayim echad, in one location. And the abeshes yadav yatsaru, the dry land his hands have formed. There's still a lot of poetry here. Rashi, what is Rashi taich? The word of Yisrafois, l'shoin gova, height. Ke'oif hame'oifeif, like a bird that flies. Let's just maybe do the targum, and then we'll conclude with that, and then we'll do Haggadah. But there's not really much I wanted to spend time on. Okay, we do have the Likutei Shas, and there's a Malbim, there's maybe the one few lines of the Hadamah. But let's for right now just finish off with going through these Sukkim in the Targum very quickly. Mizmar Tzadik Hei, Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei, L'chun Ran Al Hashem, the real Yisrael Yishen, the Targum says, Esun. Esun means to go. Niranana means Nishabach, to praise. La Hashem, before Hashem. Niyabev. And that's a very interesting word. Niyabev means to blow a tru. Nariya means terua. Tekia. Tekia is a yababa. A yababa. Okay, vatiyabev aim sisra, to cry. It says Nariya niyabev. Niyabev really means to cry. Okay, Nariya, to cry. The word niyabev, we use as a word of terua, but it means really to cry. Is that what he's saying of it? Niyabeb, to cry in pain, in teshuva?
In this context.
It's a little bit odd.
You're doing teshuva.
That's the Chumash Anach. That's not the part of Pshat. Then it makes sense. So when we read this pasuk, we always assume that it's joy. It's simcha. It's unadulterated joy. Not necessarily. Over here, it says the word Naria, and he says the word niyabev. Okay, I don't know if this, you have to be very careful what he means here, but we do know that the word yibaba, vatiyabev, a sisra, a mother, was crying in pain over the missing, over the fact that her son is missing in action.
The missing part is saying it's a lashon teruah.
Teruah means, but teruah, not necessarily, the word teruah very often means to cry out in joy. Right, so it could go both ways. Before Kadam, before
it's a Fabric wedding.
Yes.
You will hear the same thing.
Yeah. As joy, as an expression of joy. Right, of joy.
The same sound
go both ways. Like Yayin. Yayin is given for at times of joy, and Yayin is given to mourners. Yayin is a tool, Yayin is given to an abase oval, right? Chazal say they give the oval 10 cups of wine.
But finish the sentence according
to him. Kodom before Takif Purkana. Takif means the mighty one, that's the Tzur. Purkana, the Redeemer. We're crying to Hashem that he should save us.
Yeah.
Or you can say we're thanking Hashem. He is our Savior.
Before, obviously, then that
cry. No, Kodom means in the presence
that
of.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Afterwards, then it's a praise,
it's
a joy.
Okay, so it could go both ways. But there's definitely over here room to work that over here that we are at a state before the redemption has come, and we are in a state of pain and suffering, and we're crying to Hashem, please help us, save us. We're in pain, we're suffering, come to our rescue. That's a very different thought, mindset than the average person has when he comes to shul and he says, L'chun Ranel Hashem, when the Kalbach guest comes, when Yehuda Green gets up there and he starts L'chu Naranda, I don't think most people are saying, we're drowning, we're going to die, they're going to kill us, save us. I don't think that's what most people think when they see Yehuda Green get up by L'chu Naranda. Okay? Maybe the other chazanim. Maybe when I get up there, they'll say, oh no, save us from this disaster. L'chu Naranda, it is interesting to pay attention to the Targum of Neya Beiv, which means to cry, and it's in its rawest sense, it means pain and suffering, like the classic Vatiyabev Aim Sisra. Next Pasuk Beis, Nikadma Fana Besoda Bizmiris Nurilo. Pasuk Beis in the Targum says, Nikadem Apoy. Okay, it sounds very yeshivish, right? Apoy. We shall greet his face. Bisodosa, in thanksgiving. Okay, so he does not say vidui. He says over here bisodosa, bisush bichaya, with praise, niyabev kodomoy, with praise we will cry before him. There are tears of joy, Rabbi Yisai. So maybe there's something over there. I don't know. Pasuk Gimel, kikel gadol Hashem melech gadol kol elokim. Pasuk Gimel, arum elokor abo Hashem. Hashem is a great God. Umalkor abo Alkol Eloko does not explain what the word Eloko means. We only have a way with it from the Radak that it means angels. Or the Mitzudas is angels. Pasuk Dalit is Asher Biyadoi Mech Kirei Oretz V'Seyafoi Sarim Lo. So here we get interesting. Dividei Tolyon Pishpushin Da'ara. What does that mean? In his hands are the Pishpushim. Over here in my Hebrew translation, he does not do it justice. A Pishpush means like a little tunnel. Like, you know, Chabad, they have tunnels. A tunnel? That's not nice. I'm going to have to ask Mechil, when Meir takes me to the Rebbe, we have to ask Mechil for saying that. Okay? Tunnels. Pishpush. In the Beis HaMikdash. When you come in, there are pishpushim. There are little alleyways. The Mech Ke'aretz over here, he's saying a whole loop shot. Is that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his hands are the pishpushe, the ara. I don't know. He's saying over here something very mysterious. What he's saying over the Targum, the sukvei rum and the might of. Now the word v'soyafois, he's translating over here unusual because we learned soyafois lashon of oif. It appears that he disagrees with what we learned in the Mitzudos, whereas the Mitzudos says that the shoresh of the word soyafois is an oif, ayin pei, and all of the other letters are just packaging for the word oif, a bird, which flies very, very high. He doesn't say that. He says the word v'soyafois is toikef, power, might. Just the same exact word he used for tsur, the same word you use for choisen. Targum, this Targum, similar to Targum Ungalis, has a knack of simplifying a simple language. We have a language that does not have many words, Lashon HaKodesh, and the few times we have different words, synonyms, you would expect, you know, at least preserve the few words that you have. And along comes Ungalis and this Targum as well, and takes all of these similar words and gives you one word, translates them all the same. He's making a small language even smaller. And he's telling us the word v'soyafois means the mighty mountains. The mighty, not high. Very different translation. No, high and mighty are not the same. High means it's mysterious. It's high up. Doesn't necessarily mean it's mighty.
Rum means height.
Height.
So it's talking about the mighty height.
Oh, you're saying Horim, no, Rum. Okay, I didn't really pay attention to the word Rum. I didn't pay attention. You go, you're saying good. Okay, Visukvei Rum. Rum means high. You are correct. So then it would mean, what's the word, where does the word v'sukfei come into the picture here? This is a padded word.
Mountains are a metaphor for
might
and power, because if they're hard to scale, if they're really that tall, and they're immovable.
So. Okay, fine. The mighty high mountains. Next pasuk, pasuk asher lo. Hayamvu asav ayabeshit of Yitzaru. Last pasuk of the pasuk K, di le yamav hu avad yosei, he made it. The abeshta aidoi v'riyu, his hands have created. Okay, not in that much. Okay, we'll leave with that. Before we conclude, I want to just say one thing. I want to thank everyone here, especially Rav Michal Miller, for the gift that you have presented me in honor of Pesach. Everyone here I know contributed. It's very kind of you. I am very grateful to you. Thank you very much. Yishalim Hashem Schorchem. May Hashem reward you and should reimburse you. Thank you very much for your, again, everyone. It's hard for me to tell everyone individually. Thank you very much, especially Rabbi Michal. I know that this type of thing is not a very pleasant thing to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May you all be blessed. Let's take a short break. I'm going to do today Haggadah. Just Haggadah. We're going to learn the Haggadah. Dr. Bienenstock, what do you say to the... What do you say about Hake Yashinov? How do you as a dentist understand Hake Yashinov?
He's in Russia. He deserves it.
Every, so when a patient is